I just thought I'd make it nice for you. Okay, if you've been born again more than 10 years and you're not discipling somebody, you're wasting. Matthew 28:19-20. Having already gone now, disciple all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatever I commanded you, and behold, I am with you all the days until the completion of the age. Amen. Did you get enough out of that tonight? I mean, is that light and fluffy enough? Okay. I got more. He says, don't look at me, buddy. Oh, you got to have a good chart. Charts are where it's at, man. You got to have a good chart. I start this chart where we have our biggest problem. All right? Now I'm going to go to where our biggest solution is. Right there. Okay? My biggest problem is me. My biggest solution is God. All right? That's simple. Somebody quote for me the number one commandment of all times. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I think that's awesome. Have you ever studied that verse? That's the command, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, which means wherever there's a hardness of heart, you haven't fulfilled the command. Should I go back to the other chart? No, it's okay. It's okay. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your personality, all your strength, your full body, all your mind, all the way you think. To love Him. Now this is the greatest command. This is the one that's taken us forever to learn. This is going to take for eternity for us to get it absolutely right. It is absolutely amazing to love the Lord your God with all your heart. If all else fails, do that one. Huh? If you ever get confused, what am I supposed to do in my Christian walk? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now, but there's a problem. Okay? Quote this one for me, because you guys know this one. We love Him because... Okay, now we have a real interesting problem here. He loved me. See, He loved me first. Now, I'm going to follow this. See if I can do this so I don't get in anybody's way. You ready? He loved me and gave me the love to love Him with, which gives me revelation of His love for me, which gives me more love to love Him with, which gives me revelation of His love for me, which gives me more love to love Him with, which gives me more revelation of His love for me, which gives me more love to love Him with, which gives me more revelation of His love for me, which gives me more love to love Him with. It's called circular breathing. You can do that. This is the issue. Because that is what gives you something to baptize them into. It's your walk with Him. He gave you that love to love Him with in the first place. And then He says, now turn it back on me. And then He gives you revelation of His love for you. And I did this yesterday, or Saturday, it seems like a week ago, at the leadership thing, I had everybody close their eyes and just listen to what Jesus is telling them. What's Jesus telling you? Well, one thing that we do is we don't ask questions that God can answer for us. We ask questions that are so complex that we couldn't hear the answer. If He gave it to us, we wouldn't understand the answer. You know, I'll give you an example. Why did that child die? How in the world is God, who knows all the ramifications of it, knows everything around the thing, knows why, the wherefore, everything about it, how is He going to answer that to you? You're not going to get it. So, therefore, the why question is usually the wrong question. What should be the right question? The right question is, Lord, what do you want me to do? These people, their child died. Not, why did this child die? It's, Lord, what do you want me to do? Leave it in His hands and trust Him with it. You're not going to understand the answer anyway. Why try? Okay? That's just not what... What's the real question? Lord, what do you want me to do? Okay? That's very important. He loves me. I love Him. Question you need to ask Jesus, and He always answers. Ask Him yes or no questions, because it just filters out all that periphery, and you can hear a straight answer from God. And you need to ask Him, look Him straight in the eye and say, Lord, do You love me? Because the big issue on why we don't walk the Christian walk is because it's in those areas where we don't know He loves us that we fail. I know He loves me in my preaching. I know He loves me in my Bible study. I know He loves me in my family. Those are not the areas where I have problems. But the areas I have problems, for years and years and years, I didn't know He could love me financially. So I had no finances. And I kept asking, why? Because you don't know that I love you. Now that spoke to somebody in a room.
Doesn't He love everything about it?
Yes, He does.
Why are we under there?
Because we are the ones that limit it in our understanding.
So if you don't, then it's okay.
Oh yeah, well the issue is, yeah, I know that He loves you. That's cool. You can trust Him there in any, you can trust Him in any area where you know He loves you. It's when you don't know He loves you, you have a hard time trusting Him. That make sense? Okay, what's the second commandment? Now, love your neighbor as yourself. Love others. I think it's fascinating that why don't people, more people, love other people? Because they don't love themselves. You see, when I'm in God's presence, I'm finding out how much He loves me. Guess what? I'm finding out who I really am. And until I get to the point where I love the person that God has brought me to, how can I love me? If I don't love me, then I keep looking for somebody else to love me, and that's when things get twisted. Second command is, love others. Now here's the way it should work. I've taught you how to love. How do you love? You lay down your soul. How do you lay down your soul? You lay down what you think, feel, and want, and you stay there until you pick up what the Father thinks, feels, and wants. That's laying down your soul. Very simple. But here's the deal. I love Him because He loves me, because He loves me, because I love Him, because I love Him. This thing has got to keep going until it spills over. We keep trying to do this one before we got this one licked. You can't go love others until you know His love for you. Am I making sense on that? You want to go love others? Spend time with God. When you have His heart, you'll love others. You say, well, even the people I hate, that's just the issue. You're supposed to love them. Bring them to the Lord, lay down your soul for them, and stay there until the love of the Father overwhelms you for them, and then you go to them and you'll love them. That's different. What's the best thing I can tell somebody else? God loves you. Teaching them the love of God. Now what am I doing? I'm taking what I know about the love of God, the name of God, because God is love, and I'm immersing them into the name of God. And then what I'm going to teach them to do? I'm going to teach them how to love God. I'm going to work with them and get that relationship with them until they have that relationship with God that I do. Doesn't that make sense? Now, some of you are brilliant out there. Some of you are just absolutely just A number one, top notch brilliant. You can look at this chart and say, Lee, there's an arrow missing. Let's hear it. Lee, there's an arrow missing. You're brilliant. I tell you, you're just brilliant. Which arrow is missing? Because there is no scripture that commands me to receive love from anybody else. Because see, if I get my love needs met at the love throne, when I know He loves me, it doesn't matter if everybody else rejects me. I'm not in it to get love from people. Huh? It's lust. If you're in it to get love, it's at that point it turns to lust. You got to get your love fix where love is. Then you can love others without having to get love back. That is a marriage seminar in four sentences. Because how much of our marriages are based on how much we're getting love from the other person, and therefore I'm upset because they're not doing it right. You didn't take out the trash, because in her mind, taking out the trash is loving her. And when you didn't love her, you didn't love her sufficiently, now she's upset, you didn't take out the trash. Oh man. There will be a marriage seminar coming up here very soon. Wow. Are you taking down these names? I'll tell you. Okay. However, if I'm going to disciple this other, what am I going to do? I'm going to teach them how to love others. I've got to teach them to also love others. Now, here's the tricky part, is I am an other. I don't do a big arrow there because I know they have to. I don't do it to get their love. I do it for them to learn to love. I got to do it. I am another. They have to love me. If they don't love me, they haven't learned to love others. Okay? I'm not always the easiest person to love. Maybe you figured that out. I don't know. It's like, amen, brother. Let's look at just this bottom thing here. Okay? This is kind of cool. There are two kind of others out there. We can categorize the others. There's non-believer others, and there are believer others. Isn't that tough? Okay. What are you supposed to do with a non-believer other? Well, yeah, but you make them believers. That's the idea. Love them. The idea is to make them believers. So what are you supposed to do with the believer others? Yeah, make them non-believers. You're going the wrong direction, brother. Yeah. Just kind of help me out. Jeez. You make them disciples. The idea of how you love another, if they're a believer, is you love them enough to help disciple them and bring them into the nurture of God. Isn't that cool? Now, this is being a disciple. This is making a disciple. What are you called to do? Both. Okay, did I make sense on that one? Convicted? Is God calling us to do something big? Okay, watch this. This is cool. The world, this thing can all be turned the wrong direction into the negativity. The world says it loves me. It's a lie. It's lust. Okay? And it's a lie. It's lust. The world lusts me, and it wants me to lust it back. That's the call. That's what's drawn. Well, I don't go into that alone, right? So what do? Well, I drag others with me. But this time, I require of them to do it back. And then what do? I teach them about the world and how to give it back to the world. Now, you've seen this happen. I go to the bar, therefore I want to take my buddy to the bar, and we get him involved in all this stuff that we're doing. And what are we doing? We're getting him involved in the world system. I am hooked on porn, so I want to find some, get somebody else hooked on porn because misery loves company. Okay? This is really wild, but here's the deal. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15, it says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let me explain this. It doesn't say the Father doesn't love you. It says that the love of the Father is not in you. This is very important. You don't allow it to come in. Let me show you how it works here. We can keep the love of God from us. Okay, here's the deal. Do not love the world nor the things that are in the world. For if you love the world, then the love of the Father isn't in you. I can stop the effect of the love of the Father from coming into me Because my eye of focus, my eye of worship is single, and it is doing what? It is zeroing only on the things of the world. Interesting, isn't it? But the adverse is also true. If you love the world, if you don't love the world or the things that are in the world, then the love of the Father is in you and the love of the world is not. See, you can choose which one of these you want. If you start choosing the things of God, then the love of the world isn't in you. You see, so you can sit there and look at the things that you got. Where's the love of the world and where's the love of the Father? It's all going to be right there in you, isn't it? It's going to determine what's going on in your life. I'm telling you something. I'm a CSI. I've been a CSI for a long time. People say, you're a crime scene investigator? Well, kinda. My CSI stands for Corrupted Soul Investigator. Okay, so I understand. There's forensics. I can look at somebody's life and tell you what's going on. You can see the fingerprints of the enemy. You can just see where there's no freedom in their life, and where there's no freedom in their life, that means there's no Spirit of God. Where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. Why is it so difficult? It's not difficult. It's pretty easy to see. You walk in, there's a guy standing there with a smoking gun and a dead body and blood just pouring out of him. You're going, I think I know what happened here. Okay? Doesn't take Sherlock Holmes to figure that one out. It's going to take somebody with a Kevlar vest to do anything more about it because he's still standing there with a smoking gun. Hello? Okay. You know? Jeez. But this is exactly where we're going with this thing. But once we get rid of the love of the world, then we can bring this thing back into where we're loving others and teaching them where they're supposed to be. I think that is absolutely amazing. We have been given the command to disciple. We have been given the command to disciple. We must all do it. But we must do it. We must. We have to. This is the command that God has called us to do. We need to know what we have. What do you have in Christ? You need to grow more. You need to be more mature. You need to get these things solider and solider. I don't know if that's a word or not, but I'm using it solider in your, more and more solid in your life. You need to know who you are. Be that solid Christian that walks in and walks in pride of what Jesus has done in you. Walk with your head up. I am a Christian. I'm not apologizing about being a Christian. I love it. I walk in these places, and people with all these weird arguments about how much they hate Christians and how bad Christians are, I love to stop them and say, whoa, 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 you don't like Christians, huh? No, they're just a bunch of hypocrites. I said, they're not like you, because you're not a hypocrite, right? Right?
Right.
Right, I'm not a hypocrite. Okay, so what is it you say Christians don't do? Why don't go out there and help people and they're feeding people? Do you? Well, hey, but they just... So you're not a hypocrite. Right?
Right.
I love to bring up statistics to these people. Okay? Katrina. Hurricane. Came screaming through New Orleans. Killing a whole bunch of people and putting a whole bunch of people out of home. What happened? Everybody screamed about, did FEMA come in, and where are the FEMA trailers, and all that debacle that happened about. And by the way, those trailers were there. They were in. That was all a lie. All that happened. FEMA had done everything that FEMA had ability to do was done. It was all in there. But you talk about crazy. Everything went nuts, but I'll tell you something. Who really mobilized to help Katrina? Christians. As much as the government did in aid and everything else was matched and above by the giving of Christians in time, energy, money, and personnel. Don't talk to me about where were the Christians. They're all over Louisiana. What happened in Haiti? As much government aid has gone down to Haiti, it hasn't even dented as much as the church has done in Haiti. Look up the statistics, man. People are still in Haiti who are Christians. doing the stuff because it's not done yet. So what happened with Sandy? It's happening again. Christians have shown up with Superstorm Sandy, and they're in New York, and they're building places, and they're helping people. And the churches in those areas have come alive. People helping, doing their stuff. Don't tell me Christians aren't doing their thing. Don't tell me that Christianity is dead in America. It is not. It's just not publicized. It's not shown on the 10 o'clock news or wherever, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, whatever time you guys have news out here. I haven't found it yet. By the time news shows up, it's out. That's all there is to it. You guys don't like news, I don't think. 6:30, oh, no wonder. I'm here preaching. Hey! Okay. We must give what we have away. We've got to give it to people. Who are you? Time to step up. Fill yourself with the Spirit. Don't curse yourself, but bless yourself. And then take a hold of somebody and drag them back into the kingdom of God and teach them everything you got for them. Don't cuff them. Connie, come on. That's it. You might need to cuff them? That's my wife speaking. You might need to cuff them. All right. Have you learned something the last 3 days? Don't forget the former as we give you more stuff. This has been fun for me. I've enjoyed it most thoroughly. You guys are awesome. I got to tell you something, though. You have a major gift. In what God has brought into this church to bring you. Listen, there isn't anything that you have in your life that can't be set free. And He knows how to get that done. And what areas have become a complete mystery is only because Jesus is the one that's doing it all, not Mike. He's learned how to give it to Jesus. Folks, listen, what's stopping you? There should be nothing. What should Harvest Christian Center look like the next time I come? A whole bunch of disciples running around who know how to bless, not curse. Take tomorrow night off. You're all blessed. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank You for all You've done for us. We give You praise, Lord. We thank You. Lord, You are a mighty and an awesome God. We just give You the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just to be here Sunday. Everything I've had, the stuff that Lee has taught and all of the things through the tabernacle and even back to Hebrews 12 and all the things are just flooding through my mind right now and coming together. Some of the things that I've taught, and I've been very open about it, it is a step of faith because the Lord has had me teach things that I haven't heard anywhere else. And when you do that, you really step out there. But I knew in my heart, I knew in everything that I was that God was having me teach it. And now comes that time when God starts putting the pieces together and you get the real full picture. Have I kind of encouraged you to be here Sunday yet? I mean, I'm like, my brain is just smoking right now.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you, Roxanne. Thank your church for us, please. And it has been a blessed time. Let's stand. I know we have children passed out. Mine are
coming again soon.
You hear that? That was beautiful.
I can't wait.